Everyone, I might declare the meeting open at 9:31. And as practice, I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I would also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who were present. Just a quick reminder of the new standing orders in place, and if I might, for just for the benefit of the gallery, public conduct at meetings is covered in section 32 of the standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairman, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, and please turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Leaves of absence. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence, so we'll move on to our devotional segment. It's my great pleasure this morning to welcome Linda Hamill, Trinity Wellington, from the Trinity Wellington Point Uniting Church, to lead us in a brief devotional segment.
Good morning. In our church worship services for the past 6 or 7 weeks, we've been studying the Psalms, and so I thought I would bring some of the wisdom of the Psalms to you this morning. The Psalms are normally considered songs, and they cover all of the events of a person's life. There are happy ones, and there are sad ones and laments. And it's a very good book to go to for spiritual support. But what I find interesting about the book of Psalms is that while they're mostly about people's feelings and the life's ups and downs of life, the book begins and ends with what we call in the church wisdom. And the beginning sounds like this, Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of the sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its seasons. So what does meditating on the law of the Lord look like? Well, the law is to love God and to love each other. Sounds very simple, right? And if you delight in this, then you'll have a good foundation for your life, like a tree planted by streams of water. But then if you jump to the end of the Psalms, and our numbering, Psalm 146, is the beginning of the Hebrew praise at the end of the book. It's a praise song. And it goes like this. Praise the Lord. Happy are those whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, and he watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and widows, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. So the book ends with praise for a God who cares for the hungry, the stranger, the orphan, the widow, the oppressed. But how does he lift these people up? And how can we really believe that he does that in a world where there are so many hungry and oppressed? Well, if you go back to Psalm 1, to the beginning, you see that delighting in the law and following God's law to love God and to love neighbor is the foundation that we should be building our life on. So it gets quite challenging then to realize that God lifts up these people by us following his law to love him and to love each other. That means we are responsible for executing justice for the oppressed and giving food to the hungry and watching over the stranger. And it's not a matter of simply our individual response. we do have to reconcile our beliefs to our actions measure that against God's law to love God and each other. The burden falls on individuals, and it falls significantly on the church, but it also, I would suggest, falls on our community leaders as well, to work together, putting a priority to caring for each other and loving God. And so I would ask and hope and pray that you as leaders will care for each other and demonstrate that by caring for the rest of the community. I leave you with not my prayer, but Jesus' prayer in John 17 for his followers. He prayed for his followers, and this is what he said. Jesus said, "I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, but you gave them to me, and now they have done what you said. I pray for them, that they continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life, that you confer as a gift through me so that they may be of one heart and mind. I am praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. My goal is for that all of them to become one heart, one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave them, that you gave me, I give them, so that they will be unified and together as we are. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me, right where I am, so that they can see my glory and the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world." My word to you this morning is to love God and love each other. Amen.
Council's next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement. I haven't been advised of any recognitions of achievement this morning, so we'll move on to receipt and confirmation of minutes, the general meeting minutes of the 17th of June 2015. Can we have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the 17th of June for the general meeting be confirmed? Move Councillor Beard, seconder Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried and Councillor Elliott is absent. Special meeting minutes of the 25th of June 2015 also need a mover and second of that, councillors. That was our special meeting, budget meeting. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously with that. Motion is carried, councillors, unanimously, and Councillor Elliott remains absent. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting, I'll ask the Chief Executive Officer to present. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Chair. Just for councillors, there's two items which are outstanding. Item 6.1, which is around the koala area mapping, if you remember from the local laws. You've had various updates and it's finally coming to a workshop on the 28th of July for each of you councillors to attend, and also the motion of the footpath naming, that continues to lie on the table. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Public participation. Haven't been advised of anyone wishing to address council this morning. I'll just check with the gallery. Oh, there is two? My apologies. So there is. Okay, so I have been advised of two, so in which case I need a mover and second to councillors that we move into a public participation segment for 15 minutes. Move Councillor Bishop, second to Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. I'll just ask if Glenda Chapman might make her way, if Glenda's here. Is Glenda here? Just as you do that, I'll read out the process and requirements for addressing council, if I may. You may have noticed the signage in the chambers regarding public participation in meetings. It is council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at council's administration building and published on council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording or video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb, organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about, stand unless they are unable to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, and make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government, to give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and three, to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak at the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers. I also have the option as chairperson to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. With that, if there are any members who require a hearing loop and are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we'll bring the microphone to you. So we'll move on to Ms Chapman, and if you would like to start by stating your name, suburb or the organisation you represent.
Thanks. Thank you. My name is Glenda Chapman. I'm from Redland Bay. And ladies, gentlemen, councillors, Madam Mayor, like many, I am opposed to a proposal for a service station to be developed at 4 to 6 Government Road, Redland Bay. It is our belief and conviction that this development should not go ahead. A service station at this site fails the service station code. I quote from the service station code the following, quote, an application requires the overall outcome, sought for the service station is to ensure the use complements the character of the locality and is compatible with adjoining uses and the physical characteristics of the site, unquote. Currently, the land is zoned medium density residential and is surrounded by residential development. A service station is not compatible or able to complement the current properties. A residential housing development would complement the character and appearance and will have less of an environmental impact to this site than a commercial service station. Quote, service station is to ensure the use is sited and designed to maintain public safety. A service station is to ensure the use achieves a high standard of vehicular accessibility and minimises impacts on surrounding traffic networks, unquote. The development fails to ensure a high standard of vehicular access. It is a very small site that has minimal provisions for a vehicle to enter and exit safely for the public. Government Road is not a main road. It is narrow and has no room for expansion. The entrance is located close to an intersection. Access to the site will only be eastbound traffic. People travelling westbound will do illegal U-turns across opposing traffic and put themselves and others at risk entering the site. At peak hour times, the service station will create flow disruptions leading to accidents and incidents. The exit from the service station is also unsafe, as there is a bus shelter blocking the driver's view to oncoming traffic. Quote, a service station is to ensure the use prevents adverse environmental impacts from activities of the premises, unquote. Service stations are high-risk businesses and have no guarantees that environmental disaster such as an underground tank rupture or leakage or product loss from delivery vehicles will not happen. Service stations, inherently through their type of business, have petrol, diesel and LPV vaporising at all times from storage tanks, pressure release vents and vehicles refuelling. These vapours are heavy and will travel with the prevailing winds in all directions. This application asks to increase the very low air and noise pollution levels from residential use to a high, to a much higher level and to put those with health problems at further risk. This application does not in any way make an assurance that the residents adjoining and within close proximity are safe from any inherent incidents of fire, criminal or terrorist attack. We also note in the application executive summary that, quote, the service station is catering for the Wynnum Creek priority development area, unquote. Currently, Redland Bay is serviced by several service stations within 3 to 5 kilometres of Redland Bay. Why would we need another one here? We assure the service station's viability would be better served if it were to be located on a major road with a higher volume of traffic. We bought our house 18 months ago and have taken great lengths to make it environmentally friendly, both inside and outside, to support an ongoing health condition. A petrol station directly behind our property, adjoining our entire back fence and only a few metres from our backyard, bedrooms, living and work area, will impact on us and our pet, causing a serious threat to our health and safety. Should this petrol station go ahead, we would only be left with the option to sell up and move from a suburb we passionately love. Where is the common sense and justification in this situation? Developers can submit an application without prior consultation to those affected by their development. They then give minimal notice to the affected parties, expecting there would be no challenges against their application. My concern is that there is an arrogance from overzealous developers wanting to make a quick buck with little consideration to the environment or the health and safety of the residents. If this service station application is approved, it sets precedents for other developers. Redland Bay is situated in a top location, affording spectacular views, fresh air, an enjoyable, peaceful, tranquil natural environment. The site should remain residential to ensure the character, appearance and environmental pleasure of this beautiful suburb. As residents of Redland Bay, it is our duty to support, protect and help develop a more natural environment now and into the future of all. Please give this application careful consideration and vote no to this development. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Chapman. We also have Rebecca Hurd. Is Rebecca in the public gallery? Thank you, Rebecca. Just start by stating your name, suburb or organisation you present. You can start when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, councillors, Madam Mayor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rebecca Herb. I also live in Redland Bay and I am here today to represent the residents of Redland Bay regarding the development permit for the material change of use to allow for a 24/7 service station with the sale of ancillary goods on 4 to 6 Government Road at Redland Bay. Firstly, I would like to clear up any confusion regarding the history of this site that may have been caused to some false and misleading information that was recently published. Some 40 years ago, this site had Lovell's Hardware and General Store on it. Next door was Moore's Garage. Some 40 years ago, at that time, those two adjoining sites were completely surrounded by farmland and not the residential homes that are there today. Lovell's were the only shop in Redland Bay at this time, way before we had the two IGA stores we have there now. This site has been a vacant grassy lot for over 20 years. We, the surrounding residents of this site, believe this application should be refused on the grounds that it does not fit with the medium density residential zone that surrounds it. Redland Bay is still a unique, serene, residential foreshore community. That's what most of us love about it, and that's why we choose to live there. This proposal in the middle of our pristine area does not in any way complement the character of the locality, and it is not compatible with the adjoining uses and physical characteristics of the immediate community at all. Secondly, it does not achieve a high standard of vehicular accessibility, and it does not minimise impact on surrounding traffic networks. In fact, it would do quite the opposite. If a 24/7 service station were to go ahead here, the increased traffic flow in this suburban street would result in dangerous traffic conditions. There is nowhere for heavy fuel delivery trucks to turn around, as well as other motorists, once they leave this site, causing them to travel through more residential streets in Redland Bay. This in turn would impact heavily on these surrounding residents with flow congestion, increased traffic and excess undue noise. Nearby properties and homeowners in this residential area would be greatly impacted by all noise from manner of operations a 24/7 service station would bring with it. And with the location of this site in such close proximity to these residential homes on all sides, acoustic barriers would be insufficient in dealing with this excess undue noise. The visual pollution of such acoustic barriers and the highly lit overhead fuel bowser canopies late at night would be highly intrusive in this residential community, and they would certainly not fit with the physical characteristics of this community. This site is prime Waterview land. It is better suited for residential development rather than commercial. We built our home here 15 years ago to raise our children in a peaceful, safe and visually pleasing environment. That it has been up to now, and we certainly hope it will continue to be so for many more years to come. As directly adjoining property owners, we are also extremely concerned about the health and the safety of ourselves and our children, along with the well-being of our surrounding environment. And given the fact that a previous application in 1993 was denied and had overlays of acid sulphate soils, causes enough concern for us to oppose this development. So it is also of great concern that with the natural water flow of this site being altered to accommodate for this development, this site would now drain toward the road and directly downhill into the Weenham Creek catchment area and the waters of southern Moreton Bay. These are environmentally sensitive areas which are part of the Ramsar Convention. They are wetlands of international importance, according to the Australian Government Department of Environment. In summer, I can walk with my children down the hill to Rusters Reserve, the original tidal swimming nets in Redland Bay. It's only a short 5-minute walk from this site where they want to put a service station. In our 20 years of being Redland Bay residents, we have watched as all the farmland has disappeared to make way for housing estates. And understandably so, we all need to live somewhere. With this increased growth of the Southern Bay, it is fair to say there may be another need for a service station, but not on this site and not in an established residential area. There is currently a fully operational service station only 3 kilometres away. It is on a main road and is more easily accessible to passing motorists. There are also 2 shopping villages in either direction, north and south, from this site, both with existing convenience stores and an array of other outlets such as takeaways, bakeries, newsagents that currently service the residents of Redland Bay. Again, I can take an easy 10-minute walk in either direction to either of these shopping villages from this site. This is the wrong location for a service station with sale of convenience goods. Given its current surroundings, this site would be better suited to residential development. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Hurd. Are there any further speakers in the gallery? There being none, councillors, I just require a motion for us to proceed to resume meeting proceedings. Councillor Bishop moved. Seconded Councillor Hardman. Are those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Next item is petitions. I haven't been advised of any petitions, nor have I been advised of any presentations on 8.2. No. So, councillors, is there any motion to alter the order of business this morning? There being none, I'll move on to your reminder of your material personal interest and conflict of interest under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting, and a summary of your responsibilities are included in your agenda. Before we just proceed, councillors, I also will remind you that the new standing orders apply, and if I can refer you to section 23 of the policy document for any further information you may require as the conduct within the meeting. Thank you. Moving on to reports to council, 11.1, we have the right to information fees and charges. Councillor Beard, would you mind presenting that?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the officer's recommendation, that is, through the council resolves to note the increase of the right to information application fee from $44.85 and the application process fees to $6.95. per 15 minutes, and approve changes to the schedule of fees and charges 2015-16.
Move Councillor Beard, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor
Very briefly, Beard? Madam Mayor, it's a fee that's determined by the state government and it has recently been changed, and this motion seeks to bring council's fees and charges into line with the state's fee.
Any speakers against? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.1, Councillor Tolte, would you like to present that to Council, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
It's all in the report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
No other comments, Councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call the Councillor's attention to item 11.2.2, the appeals list, as was current at the 26th of June 2015, and ask that this be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, it's all in the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
No other comments, Councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Just put the motion again. Thank you. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.3, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.3 is the Cleveland CBD Development Incentives Program. I'll ask for a seconder to move the officer's recommendation.
I believe there's been a change to that recommendation. Is that correct? Can we just make sure that that recommendation appears on the screen, the amended? This is in line with the discussion yesterday. Louise, would you like to just explain that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The report is accurate, but in the table there was an omission where it had remaining budget as zero and the remaining budget is $1.5 million. So it is referred to in the document, but just for complete and utter accuracy, we've made an amendment to the recommendation for you to vote on.
Thank you, Louise. Councillor, any question about that? We have a mover for that item, a seconder. Councillor Ogilvie, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Right.
Trying to figure out the new microphone, sorry. It's a little confusing. Okay, the purpose of this report is to seek Council's continuation of the Cleveland CBD Development Incentives Program, proposed to operate from July 2015 to the 30th of June 2017. Cleveland CBD is recognised as a key regional activity centre playing a vital role in the history, lifestyle and culture and administrative and economic development of Redland City. And the Cleveland Centre Master Plan seeks to build upon the CBD's strategic assets, providing a vision to guide growth, development and investment. This is a program that we introduced and was it was still in place but did time out as of the 30th of June, and it is just simply extending the time frame available for those people who would like to take advantage of it in order to ensure that we are encouraging economic development and tourism growth in the centre of Cleveland.
And from tourism accommodation is across the city, if I'm correct. Any speakers against? Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I won't be supporting this today. I didn't support it initially, the incentives package for Cleveland CBD. I think it should be spread right throughout the whole city. I don't think it should be just confined to Cleveland. So I don't agree totally with the direction that we're going in with the CBD incentives program. I won't be supporting it. I didn't support it in the first place, so I'll be maintaining that stance.
Just noting that the tourism incentive package applies across the whole city. Councillor Ogilvie, Speaker 4.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm confused by that logic. You think the program's so good it should be across the city, but you're going to vote against it being across part of any of the city? I don't get that. But look, just move. So you think it's really good?
Through the chair.
You think it's really good that it should be across the whole city, but you don't want to have it in any part of the city, in case, unless it's in your part of the city. Is that what I get? I'm not sure. Anyway, let's move on and just say why it's such an important...
Councillors, I'll refer you to the standing orders.
Okay.
Talk through the chair. I mean, talk to the item. Thanks.
I mean, let's just go back to the fundamentals. Capella Bar, likewise, is an important part of the city, and I don't necessarily disagree that it should have its own incentive program, and I'd be more than happy to support, perhaps, an incentive program, should you be able to propose one there, Councillor. But Cleveland is a very important part of the future of this city. There should be no doubt about that. And when I say Cleveland, I mean the Cleveland CBD. As the report recognises, it's well and truly entrenched in documents like the Redlands Planning Scheme, the 2030 Community Plan, Corporate Plan, Economic Development Framework, the SEQ Regional Plan. We are principally, under the regional plan, we're considered a transit-orientated development, and we know that the state government has put in place a transit-orientated development paradigm for the whole of the state because they want to have developments around transit, transport activity centres, because they want to cut down on the infrastructure costs that are associated with urban sprawl and so forth. So it's important for us to get this right for that reason alone. It's also important for us to get it right because we know that because of our economic centres and was it the centres and employment strategy that we did 2 or 3 years ago, that the CBD is going to be one of the principal employment growth centres for and economic drivers for the Redlands going forward. So it is important that we get it right. We have an award-winning CBD master plan, but the important ingredient that's missing from that CBD master plan in terms of activation is really private investment. There's been some good private public investment, I would suggest, over the last 2, 3, 4 years in the CBD, in things like hard infrastructure. I'm talking about the Bloomfield Street Park, which has just been reopened, and we should thank the state government for the contribution they made to that. In soft infrastructure too, things like Wi-Fi that are coming there, some work that's gone on in making some events happen in the city, you know, markets, simple placemaking activities that have been happening quietly in the background have been, I think, good for the CBD. That stuff is important because it's a chicken and the egg type argument when it comes to private investment in the areas like this. You need to improve the livability of your centres so that people want to live in the centres, so that investors see an opportunity to create a supply of properties that there will be a demand for. So all that stuff is important, but really what it's coming down to for the CBD is not so much that there's a lack of government willingness or investment in soft or hard infrastructure to make the Cleveland CBD happen. It's that their investment fundamentals in this city are currently skewed towards a different type of development than CBD development. And this goes some way towards making that happen. It's actually referred to somewhere there in the report where it says that construction activity in other areas in the Redlands is happening quite nicely, but it's not happening in the CBD. And I think one of the reasons, probably the primary reason, is that the investment fundamentals in this city are currently skewed towards greenfield development. So you have a situation where developers are picking up sites for rural land prices, getting them rezoned into residential type zoning, and then are able
to... So where in the document is that, Councillor, so we can all follow what you're talking about? I don't think it actually says that, but can you refer us to the page?
Page 14, Madam Chair, increase in construction economic activity.
Hmm.
First paragraph under that talks about the patchiness of the economic of the construction activity in the city. And the reason for that, as I say, is investment fundamentals are skewed towards greenfield development, and that's where the supply is coming online, because developers are able to pick up greenfield sites at rural land prices, get them rezoned.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. Can the councillor point to a single property where the zoning has been changed in the last four years?
Point of order, Mayor.
The point of order, councillor?
This is not question time by the councillor.
So
she should raise a point of order and then hear it out.
Your point of order, Councillor Elliott, is that she's not talking. She's
the councillor should have called the point of order and waited for you to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Councillor Aglebee, I'll ask you to stick to the item that we're discussing, if you may.
Sorry,
very broad brush. Thank you, Councillor.
Well, it's right there.
It's not actually. If you want to just continue with your points about the CBD incentives program and the tourism incentives program, that would be good. Thank you.
Well, it's talking about detached houses and units and townhouses increasing by approximately 3% over the last 12 months.
That's right. And we're talking about the CBD incentive program. Thank you.
Right. So, I mean, to answer your question, which wasn't a point of order, but to answer your question, Southeast Thornlands is a pretty good example of the kind of activity, construction activity, that detracts from the investment fundamentals of CBD construction investment. It wasn't rezoned within the last 6 months, it was rezoned in 2006, but it has come online, as we know, in a big way in the last 24 months. And the reality of that is that the developers were able to pick up that property at cheap prices, have it rezoned. It has been.
Councillor, it's your last warning. Please talk about the CBD incentives program. We're not actually going to have a discussion about planning schemes. This is about a $1.5 million continuation of an incentives package and a tourism incentives package. I'll ask you to please maintain your focus on that item.
I think, Madam Chair, this goes to the heart of why people aren't investing in the CBD, and the point.
Councillor, are you going to support the $1.5 million incentive scheme? We're going to talk about the planning across the city.
No, I'm talking about both.
Okay, well, I'm asking you to stick to the standing orders required, and you speak to the item in front of you. Thank you.
Well, surely the item is about the investment fundamentals for the CBD.
That's exactly right, and we are talking about your support of moving that into a time frame till 2017.
Right, and the investment fundamentals are actually contained in the report to council and the fundamental to the decision as to whether we continue with the program or not.
And you're speaking for that, councillor?
Exactly right.
Right, okay, so stick to the item.
So the investment fundamentals include the external environment, which may be even 5 kilometres down the road, I would have thought.
We're actually talking about a major centre.
Right.
And tourism incentives, not residential, necessarily residential development.
Right.
Across the city. So if you want to
let me just be simple and get to the point, and that is that whilst there is product less than 5 kilometres down the road at a price point that is similar to the price point that developers could potentially bring product to the market in the CBD.
Councillor, that's enough. For a start, you're referring to a paragraph that refers to construction across southeast Queensland, and secondly, I'm not going to allow you to continue to broaden this debate to something that's not there. So you've had your opportunity. I'm going to move on to a speaker against. Is there another speaker against, councillors?
Madam Chair, that's unbelievable.
Well, councillor, no, it's not unbelievable. You understand the standing orders. You are trying to broaden this discussion into something that it's not about, and I'm now asking for speakers against.
Madam Chair, this is about investment fundamentals.
Councillor, last chance.
Why are we
doing
the program?
I will make a ruling. Please don't speak over the chair.
If not to tip the balance in favour of investment in the CBD.
Councillor, we know where you're heading. You're not talking about the item in front of you. I'm moving on to a speaker against. Are there any other speakers against? Councillors, I'm going to move straight to Councillor Tolte to sum up. Councillors, I can see exactly what the games that you're playing.
What is that?
Thank you. Okay, well, I'll take your comment, and it'd be a comment. I had discretion to allow comments, and I will allow it, but I will not allow you to broaden the discussion other than what the item is in front of us. And that's your warning to both of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I haven't started to speak, and I have a warning. I'd just like to acknowledge that the reason we have an incentives package, as raised by Councillor Ogilvie, is that there are fundamentals that drive our economy. The fundamentals have, over recent years, moved a focus of investment in the city to other areas outside of Cleveland CBD. Continuation of that funding package is an incentive in order to try and address that imbalance. So I think the context which the councillor has raised is totally justified.
Thank
I'd
you,
not
Councilor,
like to see it shut down.
It's not being shut down. I'm applying the standing orders as been adopted. I'll ask Louise Lussan to respond.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to help the discussion, I did discuss this at quite some length yesterday with Dr. Doug Hunt, who's our Economic Development Advisor, and he was saying that the issues surrounding the need to extend this program is that we have seen a lack of confidence post-GFC, and largely that was resulting in a lack of finance being available for some more of the apartment-style larger developments. The banks tightened their lending criteria. Post-GFC, they were looking for a much larger pre-commitment than what they were previously, and this incentive program is actually to help stimulate construction in the CBD, in the larger areas. Construction across South East Queensland has increased.
Chair, just refer
thank
you.
You don't have the floor. We have a comment from Councillor Boglari. We have a comment from Councillor Boglari. Thank you.
I thought a point of order overtook the present speaker. Sorry, I'm just checking that. I thought when someone called a point...
You didn't have it before. You asked for a comment.
No,
Would you like your opportunity to make a comment?
I would like my opportunity. I just thought when someone called a point of order, it had to be addressed.
Well, I don't think Councillor Ogilvie has a point of order. He didn't actually articulate what the point of order was. He didn't have the floor.
Do I now?
No. Because Councillor Boglari has asked for a comment.
No, thank you. I'll take my opportunity then. And yes, I also had a meeting with Doug Hunt yesterday, and we talked about the various reasons why, you know, Cleveland is lagging at the moment. And, you know, Victoria Point being built did affect 14 years ago. The strategy back then said it would, and now we're seeing the effect. And the banks, 75% they've gone up to prior commitment, whereas before the GFC it was 45%. So until the banks get on board and help, I don't know whether this incentive package is actually, no one's taken it up yet, only you can see on page 13 some of the development fees have been used, but other than that no one's taken it up. So I'm not too sure whether it is going to help, but we certainly have to do all we can. But what I want to highlight is what has been mentioned briefly is it's not just about the development in the CBD of Cleveland, it's about the tourism package. And I really think tourism is the future of Redlands with everything we've got to offer. So everything on page 15 I think is just as important as the CBD of Cleveland. And that is the tourism package is, like the Mayor previously said, it's across the whole city. And you can have bed and breakfast, tourist accommodation and a tourist park. Now, with the Commonwealth Games coming up, I would love to see more bed and breakfasts around our city to help. And this package could actually help us along there and then going into the future. So I just want everyone not just to focus on Cleveland CBD, which I know is very important and definitely one of Councillor Ogilvie's passions, but the important thing to me also is the opportunity here for tourism, and I just wanted to make sure that was also highlighted. Thank you.
I'll just get Louise to respond. There has been take up of the package. It's just the program requires that to be built in a certain time frame. So Louise, if you just want to explain that.
Yeah, that is correct, Madam Mayor. Tourism is certainly very important to the city, and that's why we do have the incentive program across the city. The CBD package is complementary, and it does need to continue. We would like to see the extension of the CBD program to also capitalise on the opportunities with the Toondah development. We see that will have a greater confidence for the city and that we will see some take-up. But we'd like to see that extension for the next 2 years combined with the tourism incentives package, which again is a great initiative by council.
I think everything Louise said was actually what I had said. What I meant by no take-up is the infrastructure charges, concessions. No one's taken that. We've still got that.
Sorry, Councillor, just to clarify, they have to actually build it before they get that concession.
And that
so they have applied, but they need to build it first before they get that concession. I think that's what we're trying to articulate.
The discussion I had yesterday with the officer, though, was that some of the development application fees, you know, they have been used, and did we want to think about putting that back up to the 250 that it was initially, or will we leave it at that reduced amount? That was something we discussed yesterday as maybe making sure there was that initial amount still there as an incentive.
Louise, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, thank you, Councillor Boglari, for the question. Actually, the table in front of you does show that the budget that is allowed, so we have spent a fraction of that budget. If there is an opportunity where we come back and we're getting demand exceeding, we'll certainly come back and say to you we need to reconsider. At this point, we think that budget is appropriate.
Councillor Boglari. Councillor Edwards, have you got a comment as well?
Yes, it's a short comment. It's just an observation I've had over the past 3 months. I've had at least six or seven business people come to me from various parts of the city expressing confidence in the way Redlands is going, particularly in tourism, and they've spoken about different projects that they're considering putting together, which I think anything that moves our city forward comes from a base of confidence in our citizens and our community leaders and our businesses. And I think the extension of this package is timely, because things take a little while to get going, and I think I feel that the people I've talked to, that it's starting to gain some traction amongst the city, and I think this tourist accommodation incentive package particularly is going to deliver the results we expect over the next year to 2 years.
Any other comments? I just might make one, I think,
in relation... Point of order, Madam Chair, sorry.
Your point of order is?
Well, the point of order was that you ruled me out of order for not addressing the topic under discussion, principally that there was, because I was discussing that there was weak investment in the
what
CBD...
What section of the standing orders are you referring to, Councillor?
Well, that you ruled me out of order, Madam Chair.
No, sorry, Councillor, you need to refer to the policy document. Tell me exactly what it is that requires a point of order decided.
I'm going to refer you to the sentence in the report that says the continued weak construction
activity... Councillor, well, if you're calling a point of order, but we're dealing with the point of order, not with the... We're not actually dealing with the item.
Well, the point of order, Madam Chair,
please refer me to the policy document area where you say a point of order needs to be decided.
The point of order, Madam Chair, is that you stopped me discussing an item unnecessarily, in fact unfairly, when the discussion that I was having was in fact addressed in the report.
Councillor, I'm going to repeat what I said. There is no point of order, as far as I'm concerned, because you haven't been able to refer to it. The standing orders do require you to talk to the item in front of you, and you very much strayed beyond that a number of times. I did give you a warning and you continue to do so. So with that, Councillor, unless you want to refer directly to the package, I'm not going to allow any further discussion that's broader than that. Before we move on, Councillors, if I could just say that in reference to some of the comments that have been made about the cross-city opportunities with an incentives package, reiterate that the tourism incentive package is for across the city, and in fact some of those applications that have been touted and come to council are from areas outside of the CBD of Cleveland. If having been local councillor for Capalaba for a long time, the challenges for Capalaba as a major centre versus Cleveland as a major centre are very different, partly because of the fractured ownership across many of the central CBD properties, and also obviously it's slightly further away from a centre of population where we adjoin the bay. So I think it's fair to say, with Toondah on the horizon and the opportunities that come with that, that this incentive package in the current economic climate needs to be extended so that we can take an opportunity of the upturn in the market. And that upturn in the market, in fact, has been seen across not only the city here, but across the state. There have been no changes to planning schemes, etc. What we've seen is confidence across South East Queensland improve, and we're hoping that confidence will equate to people seeing this incentives package as being an opportunity to choose Redlands over other parts of South East Queensland. With that, I'll hand back to the Portfolio Chair to sum up. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So with that debate, I think that we, in the most part, agreed that this is a valuable tool to encourage tourism growth and local economic development and jobs across the city, and to encourage the activation of the CBD through commercial and residential development under the plan. I would like to reiterate that the point that I made earlier was that there have been no greenfield sites rezoned in this city, and that rezoning was restated a number of times, and it is incorrect. There have been no greenfield sites rezoned in this city in the last, well, certainly the last 3 years anyway. I was very pleased to hear from the comments of both Councillor Gleeson, Madam Mayor, and Councillor Ogilvie that they're keen to see further incentive package for local economic development and jobs growth outside of the Cleveland CBD, and I think that that's an area that we should look at, and I'll be more than happy to look at that and acknowledge that we have already had commitment of support from Councillor Ogilvie and Councillor Gleeson on that, and I think that it would be confident in suggesting Councillor Hewlett would also support something like that. So with that, I put to the councillors that I would encourage them to support this and to look to further ways that we can activate the city and activate our local jobs growth.
Thank you, councillor. With that, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Bogliari, Councillor Williams. Those opposed, Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Tolte, item 11.2.4. Sorry,
Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.4 is the International Relations Policy and Guidelines and Strategic Economic and Community Relations. I'll seek a seconder first.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson.
Sorry? Oh, sorry, Madam Mayor. I'll move the officer's recommendation.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek endorsement by Council of a revised international relations policy and a new international relations guideline. Redland City Council has a diverse range of priorities and objectives in relation to its international relationships, and these range from development of its friendship and sister city relationships to the establishment of cultural and social exchanges between the local high school in Cleveland and one in Japan. In addition to this, the city should use its good working relationship with the ComSec, that's the Queensland Council of Mayors, to develop trade opportunities between Southeast Queensland and the region. The key factor driving engagement that this council has enjoyed with overseas countries has traditionally been centred on our cultural exchange. The focus should now also incorporate an emphasis on securing trade investment linkages for the local economy. Redland City has also been working in partnership with ComSec to develop a regional approach to trade and investment between Southeast Queensland and Asia. I would wholeheartedly encourage councillors to support this. We have been more frequently noticed, I guess, is the way to put it. We've had visitations from groups from Japan and China for reasons as diverse as having the education of koalas as a priority in Japanese high schools, to having the Chinese consular general here just last week, and this allows us to have in place a strategy and policy to host those visitors when they come and encourage them to notice Redlands and to encourage those trade linkages and economic development between their local economies and ours.
Speaker against? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm glad these are working. Thanks, Bill. That's great. Unfortunately, look, I don't have a problem with the policy. I have a problem with the 20 grand. I said, these end up as junkets every time, you know. I don't know if you read papers or listen to the radio, but, you know, council get themselves in a lot of trouble in these little tricks. We were told yesterday, and I don't have a problem with people visiting us and things like that, but I think you do it at the time, you know. We don't have the right present to give them. We go and buy a better one, you know. I remember one years and years ago, this council needed to find $1.3 million one afternoon. We found it. So putting $20,000 into a fund says to me, this is holidays for somebody. You know, I can't support this. In the past, we've had international visitors come. We've asked for expressions of interest in what we got. They wanted to do land development. I'm told we told them we've got that stitched up. So, you know, You don't have to worry about that. So, unfortunately, I can't support this. Don't have a problem with the policy. If you want to put $1,000 in there for covering things when dignitaries come, don't have a problem with them. Take them to dinner, whatever. Be, you know, culturally aware. If schools are doing it and things like that, I'm sure there's no big budgets there. But 20 grand, I find, is far, far too much. We talk about back to basics. Well, this is well out of order. Trust me.
Speaker 4, Councillor Ogilvie.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Quite disagree, and I quite disagree because of my own personal experience in some of this sort of stuff. I think it's important, actually, at a time when, you know, the community and media or elements of the media want to pick on programs like this, that people speak up and defend them and explain the benefits of them, because it would be a real shame if governments at federal, state and local level walked away from the benefits of international engagement, particularly when it comes at such a cheap price as this, $20,000. The reality is that we have been doing it on the smell of an oily rag for a long time. In fact, we've been doing it for free with volunteer labour, mostly, maintaining these relationships. And it shouldn't be so, because these relationships are quite important and can bring in extraordinary benefits to the city, economically, culturally, environmentally even. I can talk from my own personal experience. I was approached by a guy called Dr. Mizuno probably 3-4 years ago now, who was a professor at the University of Queensland, who was interested in setting up sister school relationships between a Redlands school and a school in Japan. And the reason he wanted to do that was because he simply believed in cultural educational exchange between students of two different countries. And he also believed, quite rightly, that one of the things that you would unite kids in both cultures would be an interest in the environment. So on that basis, he started, and I put it to you right at the beginning of this, that from small things, big things can grow. He started with a technological exchange, simply a Skype exchange between two schools, Cleveland High School and a school in central Japan, and that grew to being from a technological exchange to a physical exchange of students going back and forth between the two countries. Recently, the Cleveland High School had about 20 students that went to that country and experienced the Japanese culture and got skills and even a mindset challenge that I think will be a great benefit to them. But that relationship, that seed, has grown into something a lot bigger. The relationship between this city and Dr. Mizuno has continued to expand from that initial meeting. I've now been to the city of Kearney, which is where that sister school is based, three times. The mayor herself has been there once. And in those visits, we have been introduced to the Chamber of Commerce in that city, which has you know, a number of small businesses like Sony and Mitsubishi.
Toyota.
Toyota. Toyota has its members, has its chambers on its Chamber of Commerce, and we've been introduced to their mayor and their senior executive team. We've been introduced to some of the cultural elements of that city and so forth. The thing about that is opening up great opportunities, I think, for the city. There's no doubt that there will be students come from that city to here, but there's also been an opportunity established through the relationships that we've developed there with the state government, which that city sits within, which may lead to students in much greater volumes indeed coming to the Redlands. Now, that's great. That's great for our kids, but it's also great for our local economy. These kids stay somewhere. They eat somewhere. They bring real money into the local economy. They are tourists in every sense of the word. Dr. Mizuno, who is, by the way, not just a professor at the Queensland University, but is of the Japanese University, is also or was president of the Queensland Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Has through his own networks brought about 700 students to the Redlands over the last year. Now, that's Most of those students are going to Stradbroke Island. They're staying about two nights at Stradbroke Island using Queensland tourism economic multipliers. That's brought an economic benefit of between $300,000 and $500,000 value to the Stradbroke economy. Now, all that has happened, that relationship with him has happened...
Just reminding you of time, Councillor.
For free. For free. I mean, he's done it for free. For free. Well, and I've been there three times. The total cost to the ratepayer of my visits, if we're talking about it as a junket, has been less than $1,000. So three times for less than $1,000. So you couldn't buy a return airfare for one trip, let alone go three times for less than $1,000, Councillor. So what I would say is that's been pretty much voluntary time and effort on my part, and it's been completely voluntary time and effort on Dr. Mizuno's part. And the mayor will tell you in her visit to the to Japan, he was up at midnight working on speeches for the next day on translations. He was there in every sense of the word, making sure that visit went smoothly. So there's no doubt that this voluntary labour is bringing benefits. We've got a delegation probably from Japan coming at the end of the year, led by the mayor of Kearney City, and he will be bringing with him, I hope, business people, some of whom I met in this last visit. One, for example, and I'm just talking about for example, is a famous Japanese landscaper who has a Japanese landscaping business, has production facilities in Southeast Asia that haven't worked out for him for one reason or another, is now looking to do Japanese landscape products in Australia. And I look forward to being able to introduce that person to somebody, perhaps probably in the south of the city, who has the ability to partner with him and have a mutually beneficial business relationship. So what I'm saying is $20,000 for the kind of benefits we're talking about, $300,000 in those students, or $300,000 to $500,000 plus, $100,000 plus those students alone is nothing. What I think in relationships like this is from little things, big things grow. In that particular relationship, we're seeing something that is growing quite rapidly already and is of a size already that is worthy and of note and is worthy and supporting. I think it just goes without saying, absolute no-brainer for us to be investing these small pocket size amounts of money for somebody like Dr. Mizuno or even myself to go to a place like that and create the value that is already being created for free.
Speaker against? Any other comments? If I might just add, because obviously it's not just about Kearney City, it's also a framework to ensure that we don't have sister city relationships for the sake of sister city relationships. This policy defines the benefits that should come from any relationship, and trust me that we do get asked by a number of smaller cities, particularly in China, if we would participate in a sister city relationship. We actually have no framework in which we could say that we'd have to deny that or approve that. So this is much more than about $20,000 to a budget that will perhaps help us host people from various parts of the world. It's also about making sure that we've got a defined framework that we can refer to and make sure any sister city relationship offers benefits to our broader community, whether it be through economic development or cultural and educational exchanges. And if I could just also touch on the fact that we do have a sister city relationship with Qinghongdo, which I attended maybe 3 years ago, and the opportunities that arose from that, for example, are a life-saving exchange. They are a tourism city, not unlike Redlands, and could benefit from what we take for granted on a daily basis with surf life-saving here in North Stradbroke Island and Redlands. There's opportunities for local business people to make contacts with businesses over there and export their wisdom and their experience and hopefully invest that money back here. I think also in relation to educational exchanges, it's fair to say, and don't quote me on the figure, but it's worth about $120,000 indirectly for each student that visits our city over a long period of time. We certainly shouldn't ignore that. I think the days are gone where places like Redland City or anywhere in southeast Queensland or the world for that matter can remain living in a bubble. Redlands is now faced with global challenges, whether it be from a retail perspective or from an educational perspective, and we can't afford for our future generations to miss out on those opportunities and be part of an ongoing international relationship with countries that are very close to us and could in fact offer them opportunities that we haven't even thought about. So I think that considering what, you know, we might blow on petrol in a year as a councillor doing our job, this is just a little area of finance that can make sure that when we do get guests, and we have had more, you were all invited to attend with the Consul General recently, and by the way, that was a very successful trip, and he's already talking about bringing another delegation back to visit Redlands, particularly in the light of education exchanges, because Redlands is perceived and is in fact a very safe and desirable place for students and parents of students to put their children for a period of time, and we should be absolutely capitalising on that to make sure that our schools participate and that our community benefits. So I think it's a small little area of money that we've put aside, and I think it will be well spent, and I think future generations will reap the rewards. With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, just to wrap up, I would certainly suggest that to overlook the significant cultural and diverse range of exchanges that can come out of these relationships, I certainly would never begrudge the opportunity for our young lifesavers to have an opportunity to share their knowledge of lifesaving with their counterparts in China as an example, or the kids in Cleveland High School, the opportunity to Skype with kids in Japan about koalas, the opportunity...
Point of order, Mayor. Where is the councillor going on this? This is not summing up.
I think she is summing up, isn't she?
She's referring from the document, Mayor.
My understanding is she's summing up what's been...
Madam Mayor, I'm referring to things that have been mentioned in the discussion.
Thank you, Councillor. I don't think there is a point of order.
I think it would be extremely narrow for someone to look at all of the diverse range of opportunities that are presented through this document and pinpoint it down to an accusation of people lining up junkets. So I would...
Point of order. The council's attacking my character. It's my opinion. Please stay on top of it, man.
Councillor, just...
Madam Mayor, I didn't mention that councillor at all.
Thank you, Councillor. Can we just sum up now? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I commend the policy to the councillors and I hope that they will support it.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. I'll put the motion, Councillor. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillors who's in support, Councillor Bishop, Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Edwards, Hardman, Ogilvy, Boglari, Williams, those against, Councillor Elliott and Councillor Hewlett. Thank you. Councillor Hewlett, item 11.3.1.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to present for Council's consideration 11.3.1 Community Grants Program 2014-2015.
Move, Councillor Hewlett. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Hewlett, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to inform Council of the Community Grants Program for 2014-2015 to seek approval for round one of the 2015 and 2016 program to be held without change and to conduct a Councillor's workshop to further discuss the funding priorities to Redlands round two in 2015-16.
Any speakers against, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in comment? Well, councillors, you have had discussion. Are you actually supporting it, councillor Riley? Is that yeah? Okay. Quick comment, councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to raise that in discussion, one of the points that we would be looking at in that workshop is the review of the July 2012 Council decision to transfer $100,000 from the Community Grants Program to
point
fund...
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Your point of order, Councillor Gleeson.
Madam Mayor, that's totally separate item to discuss, and that's being brought forward in a workshop in September. It's not part of this notice.
Councillor Bishop, if you could just stick to the item. I wasn't at the meeting yesterday, so I'm not sure what was discussed. Councillor Beard, can you just...
If there's any further clarification as to...
Sorry, Councillor, I'll just have... Because Councillor Beard chaired the meeting yesterday. I'll just get him
Thanks,
to...
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yes, Councillor Bishop's right. We determined that we would hold a workshop as early as possible prior to September 30th to discuss both the sponsorship and the grants program and the issue that Councillor Bishop raised, and that is the deployment of that $100,000 that we took from one of the programs to fund the new position in events. And so we will be holding, Louise Rousan has given us that undertaking that that workshop will be held.
So we can save that discussion for then, Councillor, if that's okay? Because
I'd like to, through you, Madam Mayor, I'd like to just use this public opportunity to convey what has been discussed by the elected representatives.
Louise, can you please give us your view of the discussion? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Bishop has raised during the week that he would like to review the funding that went from the grants program to fund an events officer. Now, that events officer started earlier this year and has been providing a great advantage to the city, including attracting a large number of events. I think Councillor Bishop was wanting to look at the dollar volume in that in the grants program. We're happy to look at any aspect any councillor wants to, and if you note in the recommendation, it does say that we'll be workshopping the grants program with councillors prior to 30th of September. So I would imagine if any councillor has any issue they wish to raise, they can forward them to the officers and we can include that in workshop discussion for you.
Thank you. So I think that pretty much covers it, councillor. So with that, well, Councillor, I'm not going to have a discussion and a debate on an issue we haven't even workshopped or in a previous decision. If you're not happy with a previous decision, you have an opportunity to bring that motion back to Council. But,
Madam Mayor, through you, I was just addressing this particular item, this particular moment, in this particular public platform, which is the first opportunity.
Now, Councillor, your this has been explained. Your opportunity in here is to convince your colleagues of allowed a comment. Debate is to be spoken for and against, and the idea is to convince your colleagues one way or another. It's not actually about a public platform to talk about other things.
That's very clear. It's related directly to
Thank you, Councillor. I think the motion covers what you're trying to achieve, and there'll be a workshop, and if there is a decision to be amended or changed, it will come as a result of that workshop.
Thank you. And if I could just make a comment.
Well, I have allowed a comment, and I'm not going to allow you to talk anything other than what's in front of us.
And if I may, just acknowledge that the important work that this will enable by endorsing this is that possibly one of the greatest contributions to our city is the great work that our volunteers do through these community grants, through a broad range of different aspects of bringing value to our city. This the endorsement of the Community Grants Program will allow that to continue as one of the greatest investments and a return on investment. I wouldn't like to see the perpetual removal of that $100,000, which could extrapolate into a much bigger investment in our city.
That's enough. Thank you, Councillor. You've had your opportunity to make a comment, and you're now starting to wander off onto another topic.
It's been skewed, I must say. Thank you.
Well, you have an option as a councillor to bring back any motion, any decision of council, and rescind it or amend it. That is your opportunity, not to have a chat about it in line with another discussion that we're having on another item. I'm going to hand back to Councillor Hewlett to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I certainly understand the concerns of Councillor Bishop, but I'm sure we can work through those issues at the next workshop. Apart from that, I'm happy to move as the officers have recommended.
I'll put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2. Councillor Hewlett, could you present that, please?
Thank you again, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move 11.3.2, Runnymede Project Update.
There has been a suggested amendment, I believe. Do we want to move it as it is and have that debate and have the amendment moved from the floor, councillors?
I believe that we moved it and then we'd amend it.
Okay, so it's been moved as is printed and published. Moved, Councillor Hewlett. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to update Council on the activation of Council-owned property at 377 to 385 Redland Bay Road, Capella Bar by Horizon Foundation Incorporated, and to seek Council endorsement for a National Stronger Regions funding application. Thank you.
Speaker against. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Certainly, this use of the site has been agreed by Council, and I'm not going to speak against that. And if we're going to use the site for this purpose, then obviously going for the regional funding is a must. My issue with this particular recommendation is dot point four, to develop a concept plan in conjunction with the Horizon Foundation for the balance of the site. I have spoken a number of times, as have other councillors, about the need to get as great a value as possible out of this site, which is very strategic, and I'm not seeing the broadness and the communication that I would like to see in relation to the balance of the site coming out of this report. So that's my concern.
Speaker 4, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I could commence just by acknowledging that there could be a perceived conflict of interest with my involvement with this particular project. Just to give some clarity around that, initially when there was a community consultation phase, I was a consultant and helped people have access to the site, and I did some gratis video documentation as well. Subsequent to that, I was on an action advisory committee for a period of time, and my wife also was involved with that, and so there have been discussions in the past. And then my term of council commenced, and since then it's been a very keen interest that I've played in this site, but not having been involved directly apart from attending certain meetings. So I'd just like to acknowledge, if I may, having disclaimed that, that I'd like to very much congratulate the work of the community's team, particularly Officer Frank Pierce. I'd like to acknowledge the importance of having an anchor tenant. One of the important considerations always for Council has been that in the making of this land available for community purposes, that we have sent a very strong signal that we do not want to have to fund that from Council's perspective. One of the challenges there is to get anything to happen on the site. We need someone to come forward to do something significant. The benefit from the Horizon Foundation, not only with providing this particular asset, it will serve their purposes. They are making a significant investment on the site. From what I understand, they will make available outside of their work hours community spaces that will provide incredible benefit for Indigiscapes, for the extended community, will enable council to have extra facilities, meeting rooms, so forth. So Horizon has historically and in the display of this development of this process shown a characteristic contribution to willingly work with community. That should not be underestimated as an important anchor tenant. The balance of the rest of the site is a very important thing, and I'm glad that Councillor Tolte raised dot point four. It's with regard to that that I'd like to, through you, move an amendment, if I may, a proposed amendment to this, and this is to take into account Officer Greg Jensen, who's the overseeing officer on this. I just thought it was very important that for the many years of community work that has happened in consultation and deliberation and discussion and formulating various exemplary options that might exist on the site, that to look at the future through the lens of the good work that has happened in the past is very important. What I'm alluding to here is to just adjust dot point four, just to acknowledge that to develop a concept plan in conjunction with Horizon Foundation, and that will be in conjunction with Redland City Council and Indigiscapes as the two stakeholders in addition to Horizon, to the balance of the site being cognizant of the previous community engagement processes and outcomes identified. It just honours those people who have spent many thousands of hours coming up with some robust research, and I just think that that is worth including as respect, a sign of respect to our community.
We would have thought that was a given anyway, but I will. We've got a motion to amend. which is in front of you, councillors. We are now voting. Have we got a seconder for that to be accepted? Councillor Hugh? We're voting on the amendment at the moment, so. Well, I have got a second. I have got Councillor Hewlett now. So this is voting on the amendment. You're happy to accept the amendment. We're now talking about the amendment, councillors, not the motion as such. Okay, so you've kind of already spoken to it.
Madam Mayor, just for my clarification, are we suggesting that the amendment is now the motion?
No, we're voting on the amendment.
We're going to vote on it. And
if
then
we're accepting the amendment.
If we accept the amendment, it will become the motion.
Correct.
Thank you.
Have I got that right, Nick? Thank you. Just making sure. Okay, so we've got the amendment moved and seconded. So, Councillor Bishop, you want to speak to the amendment? You already kind of have done that.
I have indeed. And if I could just acknowledge, as you rightly said, Madam Mayor, just through you to the councillors, the reason I've raised this is, as you've said, it's one of those things that, of course, we'd do that. I just thought it was important to those many residents who've been involved in the past process that we don't just lurch forward to the future without acknowledging and giving some credence to the good work that they have done in the past, to let them know the importance of that work and that it will be carried forward. So I just ask councillors' indulgence that we pay them that respect and take that information with us into the future. Thank you.
Speaking against the amendment, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate the effort of Councillor Bishop in attempting to amend that dot point four. For my concerns, it doesn't really address my concerns. As mentioned, it goes without saying, and fine, if you want to overtly say it, then we can take that into the motion. But my particular concerns are about the balance of the site, and when we did make the decision to allow the leasing of that part of the site to Horizon, there was to be a much broader discussion about the remainder of the site than what has occurred, and what's proposed there from my perspective doesn't achieve that. So unless councillors would like to propose that we either drop dot point four out and come back to it later or amend it in some other way, I won't be supporting it.
Speaker for the amendment. Did you have a question about the amendment?
It's about the amendment and dot point five. Councillor Tolte's concern is that we're only going to be listening to Horizons. Community will be involved, naturally, and Councillor Bishop's now ensured that we're putting it in the motion. But I'm... Well, being cognizant of previous community engagement process. I mean, we know the community process is going to happen, but I'm just thinking with number five, doesn't that address...
I don't think that's what the council is...
Well, this is what I'm asking. Are we ensuring that... Councillor Tolte's concern is that it's just going to be Horizons that... Is that correct?
I'm just going to bring you back to the amendment that we're discussing at the moment, because you're kind of talking about...
But I'm wondering if the amendment does address Councillor Tolte's concern in that we are expanding that consultation process.
It's just basically saying we'll acknowledge and be cognizant of the work that's been done previously, which is probably about 6 years ago now, or 7 years ago. Roughly, so that's what it's saying.
It's not ensuring we do future community consultation on it or have the others. So then I'm agreeing with Councillor Tolte that we might be restricting. Can I have clarity through you to Councillor Tolte?
I'll ask the officers to respond. Louise?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The report does actually say that once Horizon Foundation plans are firmly established that there will be a willingness to engage with community groups who have expressed interest in being part of the project. We're also looking at a strategic plan with Indigiscapes to look at the balance of the site, but we're quite happy to bring information back to councillors for consideration of other uses. There have been a range of things that have been suggested over workshops in the past, but we can always bring something to you in a workshop if you'd like.
Okay, reminding councillors that we're debating the amendment, not the whole item at the moment. We'll come back to the whole item once we've decided whether you will accept the amendment which is highlighted in yellow. Are there any speakers? Okay, so Councillor, we are going to vote on the amendment. Okay. Well, I don't know that there was actually any other thing, any other discussion. I don't think there was. Well, I don't think there's nothing to sum up, but I'll allow you an opportunity to comment because no one spoke. We had a question. That was. Oh no, we did. Sorry, my apologies. We had Councillor Tolte.
Indeed, we did. Thank you. Which is good to have different people's views and express them and share them because we all learn. And what I'd like to acknowledge is that when Councillor Tolte was saying that she had some other views about what she'd like to see on the site, I think it's very important that we acknowledge we are the elected representatives. We obviously will be part of the concept plan that will be developed in conjunction with Horizon and Indigiscapes and as council. To drop dot point four would be to take out the importance of having a vision for the site and its future. So I would, if I may continue, sorry, Councillor, I was just interrupted there for a moment. So I'd just like to...
Sorry, Councillor, can we talk to the amendment, not to the other, to the whole motion?
The amendment would, in fact, affect the removal of dot point four, which was raised. Would take that whole process of having a vision and acknowledging those residents, which is what I'm proposing, out of the future deliberations on the site. I think right now we've got an anchor tenant. We want to make sure that they are welcome and feel part of whatever's going to happen on the future on that site. We would want that to happen. And the other thing is that going forward, community consultation has been addressed as an important part of, as I said at the opening of this amended motion, it's been an important part of Horizon Foundation's background. They would want to continue to do that. I think Council, we would want to do that. And I think Indigiscopes would want to do that. These are all good things. So I just encourage that we look back, include that, given it as a fait accompli anyway, and just support that. So thank you, councillors, for your support.
Councillors, you have the amendment to vote on now, so I'll put the amendment to you to support that. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari. Those against? We have Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte. Now we come back to what is now the motion. And do we have any further speakers on this item now, Councillor? Oh, we have a heap, okay. I'm just trying to think. We must be speakers against, actually. Speaker against, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Once again, I'm probably going to go against the grain on this one. Again, I disagree with the use for the site. I think I've raised it in the past. We could and we should have found a better facility or a better position for Horizon, and I think we've just wasted a massive opportunity in developing that, the only land that we own adjoining Indigiscapes. I won't be supporting it. I didn't support it initially, and I won't be supporting it again.
Speakers for? Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Mayor. You and I must be frustrated at this point in time, Mayor. This has been kicking around since 2006, councillors. You know, I've seen more false starts than Melbourne Cup. You know, I appreciate councillors want to have another look at this, but really and truly, we have done this to death. This is a 10-acre block. We've kicked it from pillar to post. Horizon is the best vehicle. We've had tenders, express, and events. We've looked up every foxhole, and these people do it well. They do it well. Could, for Pete's sake, just give them the lease, let them get on with it. The more, you know, the last thing, we stand in front of them again. I supported Councillor Bishop's amendment, but that's the obvious. That is the obvious. We're going to take all that information on board. But 9 years, 9 years, even public opinion changes over 9 years. Just put it to death.
Speaker against? Okay, if I might just... If I might just... I think... I'm sorry. Don't... So, councillors, I think, in fairness, I'd just like to congratulate the officers who have been on this journey with us, and it's been the on-again, off-again, as Councillor Elliott has talked about. There's no doubt that in Redlands we're very lucky to have an organisation like Horizon Foundation who work with not only our locals with disabilities but people from beyond. They're certainly financially stable, very strategically in touch with what's required with future challenges from federal government policy and state government policy. I have great faith in Horizon working with council and the broader community and delivering something that most people around this room, I think, will be very pleased with. Like us, they have a community agenda, and that community agenda also includes making sure some of our more vulnerable residents and people in our community have the opportunity to interact with other community organisations and have opportunities that sometimes they don't get in other places. And I think Redlands City can be really proud to have an organisation like Horizon, and in fact to have attracted them to a very small portion of this site. There's still lots of opportunities, I think, in line with some of the concerns and visions of some of the councillors who may not support this today, but they are well placed, and they will certainly be financially sustainable to do that, and the best thing is it won't come at great cost to our ratepayers, and I think it's a win-win for council in my view. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Hewlett, and this is obviously an update as well, so Sorry, you're right, pardon me. I was just, the portfolio chair had actually moved, I was going back to him. You're right, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely, Horizons. Congratulations to them for staying involved in wanting to find a home. This is a homegrown, non-profit organisation doing extraordinary things collaboratively, connectedly, and profoundly in our community. For them to have a home, I think Councillor Gleeson to suggest that you disagree with the use for the site is and that you've got better ideas and it's a wasted opportunity, that's hopefully that's not I'm glad that's not the reflection of the community view of the entire
Councillor,
balance of the site.
Interrupt. Please, I refer you to your standing orders. You do not speak over other councillors while they have the floor, and you make any comments through the chair. Councillor Gleeson, back to you, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's clear that passions ride high here, and that to have certain individuals want to influence what might happen on that site against the community will is not something that anyone would want. Now, so I support and I thank councillors for supporting me and the rest of the council with
Bishop,
the community view.
I think you'll just withdraw that comment, if you wouldn't mind, for expedience. I don't think that was the intention of anyone who
If my turn of phrase suggested anything...
Councillor, I ask you to withdraw that.
Work
the standing orders actually ask for you to be respectful of your counterparts in here, so I ask you to withdraw that comment.
I withdraw that comment,
and I just
leave the importance of working with community and acknowledging the work that's happened there in the past. And I do hope that on the site in future that concept plan is something that remains as collaborative and proactive as possible, and totally support what Councillor Elliott said, that this has been gone on for a long time. It's great to have a start, and congratulations to all the officers involved.
Councillors, with that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried, supported by Councillor Bishop, Councillor Beard, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Hardman, Ogilvie, Boglari, Williams, and those against, Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Hewlett, the next item is the sponsorship program, 11.3.3.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to present to Council 11.3.3, sponsorship program 2014-2015 report.
I note that there's also a change to the recommendation, am I correct?
Yes, there is.
Is that the recommendation you're moving, Councillor Hewlett?
I wasn't sure, Madam Mayor, whether I would remove that motion as given to me by the officers or whether I should remove point two completely. I wasn't sure why. I needed to have that sort of explained to me a little bit. Because
I wasn't in attendance, as I said, I'm not quite sure what the reason is.
I have a suggested recommendation that council not approve the proposed amendment about the fundraising event being ineligible, but I wondered why we couldn't just achieve that by removing two completely. So
that would require a change to the recommendation, wouldn't it?
Could we just remove two completely?
So, just confirming that you're moving the amended motion.
Yes.
As is on the screen behind me.
Yeah. I'd just like to leave it as one if that's possible.
Okay, so that's moved, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to inform Council of the sponsorship program for 2014-15, including reporting on those organisations that receive funding, value of the sponsorship, and the alignment between the funded activities and Council's corporate plan. That's basically it.
Any speakers against, councillors? Speaker against, Councillor Boglari?
Just a question. Should we have all declared conflicts of interest because of the various groups that were involved in that might have got sponsorship here? No? Okay, we had previously. I just wanted to check. Thank you.
Legislation has changed since then. Okay, any other speakers, councillors? There being none, I'll... Councillor?
Thank you for including my comment. I'd just like to acknowledge that with the removal of dot point two, that there will be an ongoing discussion. Obviously, community grants and sponsorship are merged as a funding pool. Sorry, you want to...
No, sorry, that's not the case.
They're related, I should say. They're not merged. They are related, given that the $100,000 removal from that previous community grants has effectively gone into an officer who's been overriding...
I've got officers shaking their heads, so I think we need to correct the record, Councillor. Louise.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Now, they are two very distinct things. One is for a grants program, and the other is for sponsorship to attract large events. I understand that you do want to workshop the two, but they are very distinct programs.
Thank you. If I can just make the acknowledgement, yes, I understand. Absolutely. Clarification. They're two separate and as distinct categories, and they're overseen by... Well, I won't go into any further into that, but I will acknowledge that the $100,000 went to setting up an officer role.
Council, that's not part of this agenda discussion, this item.
Let me just come to the removal of dot point two. We will have a workshop where we'll discuss that, and that's certainly where we'll have discussions further about any... future related changes.
Just to correct the record, the sponsorship is a very different program to community grants, and it has nothing to do with, and I know you've tried to raise this on two separate occasions, and Councillor, I ask you to stick to the item in front of you, and with that I'll hand back to sum up if I could.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to remove this office recommendation, but after I noticed on the end of the community grants one, we put conduct a workshop before 30th of September. Should we also add a point two on this about sponsorships? Or?
That's a given. I don't think that's required.
Not required.
I don't think you suggested that at all, Councillor Bishop, with greatest respect. No, Councillor, you had an opportunity to speak against it. I allowed you a comment and you went... Yeah, well, you had an opportunity to move an amendment and you didn't make it. So, Councillor Hewlett, are you summed up now? Are you...
Yes, I'm summed up.
Okay. Councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. I'm going to remind councillors to refer to their standing orders. If people are going to continue to use comments to speak out of order, I won't allow them. And that's just giving you a heads up. You must speak to the item and I will refer you to the standing order, the standing orders. Moving on to the next item, councillors. Councillor Hewlett.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's 11.3.4, acquisition of property, Oasis Drive, Russell Island.
There's also an amendment to that, so can I get some clarity on that one, thanks.
Yes, there's an amendment concerning the financial side of it, which I think Louise or...
Louise, would you like to just clarify that before we get the motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Post the paper being prepared, the resident was in contact with the councillor and advised that they were looking for the provision of fencing around the property and also the moving, the connection of power at the front of the property. These are minor expenses that we've led to believe, and we think that it's appropriate that we have an item included in here for councillors to be aware of, that there is a nominal amount of $20,000 for any out-of-pocket costs associated with this very good opportunity to take into council ownership this parcel of land.
Thank you, Louise. So we are moving the amended motion then. Councillor Hewlett, yes?
Yes, I'm happy to move the amended motion.
Thank you. I'll just get a seconder for that. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Look, I think I might let Councillor Edwards speak to it because he was instrumental in facilitating this report.
Councillor Edwards, have the opportunity to speak to it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The land that's being offered to Council today was formerly known as Pinnacle Hill Farm, which is the name I believe describes the land. The land is a cleared acreage block and is located on a peninsula that extends to almost touching Stradbroke Island. Being on a hill, the land has amazing views of Moreton Bay waters, almost in all directions. You can look to the north and you can see the islands of Lamb and Macleay, as well as the coastline of Stradbroke Island stretching all the way to Dunwich. To the east, you see Kniper Passage, which flows towards the Gold Coast. As the council report points out, Kniper Point is deficient in parkland, and this donation of land fills a community need, plus adds wonderful water views as well. Margaret Broome is an extraordinary woman, whom I'm pleased to have known for several years. And since I've known her, she's always wanted to acquire this property and gift it to council as a property for the community to enjoy. When Margaret first attempted to acquire the land many years ago, I believe she paid a substantial deposit on the property, on the contract. However, she was unable to secure funding at that time to complete the contract and actually lost that deposit. But Margaret's not a person to give up and saw another opportunity to buy the property for nearly $500,000 and sold her home, other assets and had assistance from her children to buy this land. How many people these days will give a bulk of their assets to the community so that they may enjoy this parkland? And that is something I want to make clear for any future council to consider. This donation of land is for the purpose of community parkland, not to cover in buildings. And I hope future councils respect this. There is a vision for this land, and Margaret has a wide range of local residents volunteering to help create a special place working along with council. This is the way of the future, where the community has an input in the future design and delivery of this park. And I would expect that Margaret Broome would like to be involved in that process. The community vision is not to spend huge amounts of money on this land, but to plan a garden landscape which the community can deliver in conjunction with council. There is also a thought to build a dirt track around the boundary of the park for children to learn to ride their bikes away from the roads. These are low cost but functional outcomes. There are some costs we need to cover in this, such as the transfer of the electricity connection, which I believe Margaret's already had a quote to. It's around about $1,000 to connect it. So they're low cost items. And there's also a requirement for a basic fence just to separate her house from the rest of the park. However, I'd like to be bold enough to recognise this wonderful gift by perhaps allowing for any funds that aren't used that we consider have the funding there of $25,000, any funds that not be used, have set aside for the community to buy some plants from Indigiscapes or get some small hand tools and help work with officers to plan a future vision of this park. I would like all councillors to be on the land the day it is transferred to council, and each of us to plant a tree or a shrub to mark the occasion of this event. Too often people ask, what is council doing for me? And it's refreshing and inspiring to see people like Margaret stand up and say, this is what I can do for you and for the benefit of our community. I'd like to thank Margaret and the volunteers who support you. This is community at its best, and I hope that we as a council can reciprocate in progressively improving this park for the benefit of our residents.
Thank you, Councillor. Speaker against? Question? Councillor Elliott?
I'm happy to support this. I think it's fantastic. But the Councillor just alluded to some tools and thingos, and I think we're sort of... I don't think we'd be responsible if... I'm happy with that, but that'd be done on a different pathway, something like that. Don't have a problem with drought, something like that. But I just think if we will start getting... this is done and we can be put the extra in. The extra could be $10,000. I don't know, but I'm just sort of saying about our governance thing that we're actually getting this, put the money into the electricity and the fencing. I think we start straying off the thing. I think it's a fantastic thing. I think she should be congratulated publicly. Just a question I'm asking in the vote, that's all.
I assume that the motion before you really refers to just what has been put forward in the report. It was a bold suggestion by Councillor Edwards, and that would be a consideration for council as to any how any of that works might, those sorts of works might proceed. Louise?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to draw councillors' attention that we would bring this back at a budget review in any case, so you know, you can always look at any potential additions or changes at that point in time. We're not aware of what the full cost will be, but we've given you an indicative amount in the financial section of the report so that you're aware of what we believe it will be. We can cover it at budget review time.
Thank you, Louise. Does that answer your question, Councillor Elliott? Have we got comments, have we? Well, I am going to make sure that they're short and simple, if I could. Councillor Bishop?
Mine's actually a question, and it's just regarding All Hail Margaret Broom. What a wonderful ambassador for our city. And I absolutely endorse Councillor Edwards' request to honour the desire to turn it into community hands and to actually go further than that. And
your question?
And to enable them to get access to the site as soon as possible. My question is, given that she has left the property for community to enjoy, is there any way that we can stipulate a time frame just to acknowledge and honour that there is a perception that it could have an other use down the track, but is there some way that at this point, as receiving this land, that we could say for a 20-year term, for example, as we do with community leases, that we would actually say in perpetuity for at least a set period of time, and I'd like to suggest 20 years, would that require a further amendment, or is there some way that that could be practically integrated into council just to honour this, I understand this lady's 93, just to honour that for some time into the future, Councillor Edwards and Madam Mayor, through you two officers,
it will be a zoning decision, and that can be. And I'll refer to the officers, but I.
Councillor, I think as we've indicated before, I can't take this question on notice. I don't. I can't give you that, and I don't think any council officers could in the short term. Give you that answer. We would have to explore that, but once it's zoned for that purpose, any application then would come through. If council, who would be the ultimate owner, wanted to do something different with it, would have to be a subsequent decision of council, and I don't think we can fetter future councils is my uninformed answer, so we'll just take that on notice if you really want it, but at this stage we're not going to, we can't really respond.
Councillor Elliott, did you have a question?
I have a comment. I'll be wary on Councillor Bishop's suggestion because that's opening up a whole can of worms. The community will start asking, well, how long is my park going to last? I'm very wary of that, and I think we should just leave that suggestion. We discuss those mere council things rather than put it out there, because I think that's flagged that this council, you know, we're going to put 20 years on this, and how long is my park? I'm just a bit worried about that.
That question's been.
I know the intent. I know the intent, but I think it's a dangerous area to be in.
Yeah. Councillor Bishop, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I just thought, out of respect, it was worth asking. Thanks.
I think the zoning implications are our best opportunity to protect that land. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think while I appreciate. What Councillor Bishop was trying to do, it could send a signal, as Councillor Elliott said, that would actually work in reverse from the perspective of community. I think Councillor Edward made it quite clear that the goal here with this very generous donation to the community is for this to be community parkland in perpetuity, and as far as we're concerned right here in 2015, that's not under question. I would like to just note in the motion there that the amount of budget that's been allocated is also to cover any future investments required in clearing, maintenance and infrastructure costs in turning this piece of land into a park. So, and we have our bush care groups which are afforded tools and so forth through a different program. So I think what Councillor Edwards has suggested can be covered in what's proposed here anyway. So I think it's a very good idea. And certainly thank you to the generosity of Mrs. Broom and her family.
I think that that question has been answered, that this is really basically about covering the costs of transfer, etc. So anything else will be subject to further budget reviews. Any other comments, councillors? I'll hand back to Councillor Hewlett to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd certainly like to acknowledge the generosity of Margaret Broom as well. I know that part of Rosslawn extremely well. I've driven along that road in front of that property many, many times. It is a beautiful part of the island, even made more beautiful by the fact that you can see Coochie Mudlow from there as well, I think. And Stratty. So I'm just happy to move the officer's recommendation as is on the board now. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Okay, councillors, moving on to 11.4.1, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.1, which is a new lease to Redlands Respite Care Committee Incorporated.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Boglari. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This, the purpose of the report is to seek council approval for a new lease to Redlands Respite Care Committee Incorporated at the corner of Roberts and Chermside Street, Wellington Point. This is an existing tenant in place, so this is just going to allow the current arrangements to continue on for a further 10 years. So it should be a fairly simple one and a good outcome for the community.
Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Any speakers against? Did you want to make a comment, Councillor Boglari? I assume you might.
I was just going to say it's an organisation that assists people throughout the city. It's such a worthy cause, and the parents, when you go there, they just so rely on this facility that the officers are fantastic too. I have to mention that they really help the workers down there and coordinate things. So it's a really good community come council outcome here, and I look forward to continuing to work with them.
Councillor Gleeson, any need to sum up?
No further comment, Madam Mayor.
Okay, with that I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.4.2.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.4.2, which is road renaming for the northern segment of Maughan Street at Capalaba.
Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to rename the northern segment of Maughan Street at Capalaba as Grange Court. Maughan Street is divided into two distinct segments, which are separated by residential complex developments. The renaming would facilitate safe and efficient access for all residents, visitors and service operators, and assist in property identification in both of the Maughan Street segments. Madam Mayor, there's been a little bit of confusion since the new development has been constructed in the last couple of years, separating the two Maughan Streets. Emergency services and delivery trucks have been going into the wrong areas, which could pose a number of issues such as safety and risks. Council officers have sent a questionnaire out to 35 residents involved. 21 responses were returned, which is a pretty good outcome, and they're all positive, not one negative comment. So I think this is a fairly simple tick and flick, this one.
Any speakers against? Question, Councillor Elliott.
Have we checked there's no other Grange courts in Redlands?
In Capalaba?
Well, we tend to try and keep away from having the same name.
Councillor, that's part of the standard process, and it's been through that.
Thank you.
Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My only concern with this is that 35 and 21 responses is quite okay, but the whole area has got an Irish theme to it. All the streets around there are named after counties or parts of Ireland. To name it Grange, like, I think it should be Galway Court or Cork Court or a word like that. And I think if you've got a theme around a particular area of a suburb, I think it should be maintained. Just a thought.
I'm sure we can come up with 11 different names. I'm not quite sure how they've come to that determination, but I'm sure it'll be fine. Residents are okay with it. Certainly, as being local councillor in that area, it has had a lot of confusion as to which end of Moon Street and some development probably about 30 years ago split the two. So I'm not quite sure how you came to the Grange, but anyway, I don't think we can suggest that from the floor today. With that, I'll hand back to Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. The suggestion of the name change to Grange Court was because the new development is called the Grange, So outside of the unit development, there's only two existing houses that would need a street name. So everyone was pretty happy with that. And obviously Grange, very upmarket, which is well suited to the area.
With that, councillors, I'll put the motion, those in favour. Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, I haven't got a mayoral minute, and I haven't had any notices of to repeal or amend or motions or any urgent business without notice. So with that, I will declare the meeting closed at 11:25. Thank you for participation, and thank you to members of the public in the gallery today. Thank you. Closed at 11:25.